Well, once again, I want to say how much I appreciate those that send in their questions and even ask questions on the side. And this particular question we're going to be dealing with today, for those of you who don't know, we try to deal with questions during the time of offertory, was actually asked to me on the side. And so if you turn me to the book of Luke in chapter 18, we'll try to answer this particular question dealing with prayer. When we pray, what sort of position should we take? Should we kneel? Should we fall on our face? Should we have our eyes closed? What should we do, and why do we pray the way that we do? It's a good question, and a good one certainly to ask. The psalmist says in Psalm 95, verse 6, "Let us worship and bow down before him. Let us kneel before our Maker." His declaration is one of, "Let us come humbly before God," would be another way of putting it. We read about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, and it says, "And Daniel, kneeling on his knees, would pray." Describes the way that he would do it. Yet, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says that we should all lift up holy hands unto the Lord. And what it's talking about specifically is that when we pray for our leadership, we should make sure that we're doing the right things. That is to say, that by our hands, by the works of our hands, we're not doing that which is destructive. So when we come and pray before the Lord, as we are praying for our leaders, it's not with a double idea or a double agenda, but we are actually wanting the best for our nations, not tearing down those things that God is building up and using in their lives. Nevertheless, interesting picture, lifting up holy hands. In Luke chapter 18, there's a picture of two that are praying in the text, and Jesus seems to convey this parable of certain ones that trusted in themselves. It starts off in verse 9 of chapter 18, and he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Now let me just say this, that this seems to be the issue of prayer. How do you view yourself? And how do you view God? Not as much our stance, our positions, or whether we have our eyes closed or eyes open. The text then goes on and says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself." Now, the position of the Pharisee was one of standing. As he went up and stood and he began to pray, he says, "God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer." I think it's interesting, the very beginning of the phrase, it says he began praying to himself. It's almost like Christ is saying he wasn't praying to God because God wasn't hearing him. He was obviously praying to himself. He says, "I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling. And I think this is one of the reasons why we do pray with our eyes closed, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. Now we know that Christ in John chapter 17, 1, it says he lifted his eyes and prayed towards heaven. And certainly with good reason, he has every right to lift up his eyes, as well as it is a signification of where his Father resides. Scripture tells us, as Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, pray like this, "Our Father who art in the heavens." And so lifting your eyes. Nevertheless, the closing of your eyes or the bowing of your head is a sign of which we are declaring we are not worthy. The passage then goes on, he says, even unwilling as he stands at a distance to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the one than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Once again, the attitude of prayer, the heart of prayer. Another point is, if you turn me to 1 John in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, it tells us in 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 15, that we should not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eye, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Another reason that we would often encourage people to close their eyes is because it's easy to put your eyes on the things of the world. And in a way, what we are encouraging you to do is take your eyes off the world, because once those eyes are open, it's easy to get them dissuaded and moved. Somebody even starts walking from the back, and it's easy to turn your head and start concentrating on them. Let's take our eyes off the world at this time, and let's put them on the Lord. Let's let these eyes, the lust of the eyes, be closed, so to speak. But as you come to the end of 1 John, it states this in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13. John writes, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, I want you to mark it well. He doesn't say, if you're on your knees, if your eyes are open, if your hands are lifted. He says what? If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request that we have asked from him. So clearly it is more, and the issue is, and has always been, the heart. Hebrews gives this wonderful truth in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And he ends that passage with, "Let us draw near to God boldly." Boldly before the throne of grace. So we can actually come boldly. Should we come humbly? Absolutely. But we can come with boldness, knowing that God is sitting on a throne of grace, not of judgment. And I'm so thankful for that. Well, Father, we give you thanks for your loving kindness to us. And as we close out the world at this moment, and our thoughts are now upon you, we give you thanks for your gift towards us, and for your arms ever stretched out to us. In Jesus' name, amen.